Blog Talk Radio.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you away. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, but there has never been a step you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more.
Refreshing Nights. We have a powerful show tonight once again. It is going to be awesome. I want to go ahead and give you once again, I say thank you for coming in every Friday night at 9 p.m. East Coast time. I want you to check us out on Facebook. You can look us up at Prophet J.C. Moore on Facebook. You can also look us up on Pastor John C. Moore on Facebook. And if you have any prayer requests or questions, you can do so at slwchurch@gmail.com. That is slwchurch@gmail.com. And I thank God for this ministry. We have had this ministry since 2012. So we've been around for over 3 years now. And God has done supernatural things in people's lives. We've heard testimonies of miracles. We've called the word of knowledge. Great, phenomenal, fantastic things. Financial breakthroughs. People that didn't have jobs found jobs. People who were sick. People who were demon oppressed. All sorts of miracles. God is doing something supernatural. And I thank God for your life, for being a supporter of this ministry. And I thank God because you share a post on Facebook and you're helping to spread the kingdom gospel. Hallelujah. All right, so what I want to do tonight, I want to pray. I want to welcome the presence of God. We know that in every single one of our shows that we do, we never, ever do anything. We never speak about anything unless we pray and we invite the presence of God. The presence of God is the most important thing that we need in our lives. It's where we get imparted with truth. It is where we get imparted with revelation. It is where we get imparted with identity and with the love of the Father so that we can perform and we can do and we can do exceedingly all those things that God has called us to do. Amen? All right, so I want to just go ahead very quickly, and I want to go ahead and pray tonight. If you have any testimonies, it is time for you to call in, and then, I want you to just press one when you call in. The telephone number is 760-888-5757. That is 760-888-5757. And I want you to pay close attention to our prayer tonight. I want you to join me in prayer. Come in agreement. The Word of God says when two or more are in agreement or two or more are gathered together in His name, He's there. And if two people agree here on earth, the Word of God says the Father gives us the things that we agree on in heaven. So it's so important that we come in agreement tonight. We're going to make some prayers. We're going to pray for the saints. We're going to pray as the Spirit leads us tonight. Amen. All right. Father, thank you so much, O Lord. We bless your holy name tonight. We thank you so much because you have brought us here. You've given us the opportunity once again to worship you, once again to serve you, Father, to hear your word. Oh, Father, thank you so much because you are good, and you are good all the time, oh, Father. And we thank you because we can depend on you, on your love, on your power, on your wisdom, oh, Lord, on your revelation. Oh, Father, thank you because tonight you will do exceedingly and above all that we can think of or ask for. Oh, Father, we thank you because tonight, oh, Jesus, you will meet our needs. Father, we are coming hungry to you tonight to hear a word. Your word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, oh, Father. We want to hear the word of your mouth. We want to hear the word of truth. We want to hear prophetic utterance. We want to hear something new. We want something fresh, oh, Father. We invoke your holy name, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come quickly. Oh, Jesus, manifest your glory this night. We come to you in this moment, oh, Father. I come praying right now for every one of your children who are listening tonight. Every one of those children out there who have been oppressed, who have been hurt, who have been torn down, Father God. Oh, I pray that you lift them up this night. Oh, let their hearts be healed in the name of Jesus. I come declaring in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach that every demonic oppression tonight is broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. I loose every person tonight. I loose every person from infirmity. I loose every person right now in the name of Jesus into their purpose, destiny, and calling for their life that God has chosen them for before the foundation of the world. Oh, Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against the children of God shall prosper. I declare that tonight, people who have problems with money, those problems, oh, Lord Jesus, will be resolved tonight. Oh, Father, people who are having problems with finances, they can't find a job. Tonight, Father, you will release. Tonight is the night in which, oh, Jesus, you will release a miracle upon them. Let miracles come that your name may be glorified, oh, Jesus. Oh, Father, meet the needs of the saints, for your word says that you are Jehovah Jireh, He that provideth, oh, Lord God. We thank you so much because you're a provider, and tonight you will do it, oh, Lord. You are good, oh, Father. Oh, thank you so much. In this night, in the name of Jesus, I come declaring every single person that is listening tonight who has a hardened heart, their heart will be softened. Let the words that come out of my mouth today come out with love, come out with fire, come out with conviction, oh, Jesus. Oh, Father God, conviction to change lives, oh, Lord. Conviction, oh, Jesus, to lead to repentance. Oh, Father, show your love to your people. Show them your goodness. Open the eyes of the blind, oh, Jesus. I pray, Father God, in heaven, that you remove all spiritual blindness in the name of Jesus from every person listening, Father. Oh, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and I come declaring that every evil spirit of interruption, every spirit of interruption in the airs, every spirit of interruption in the lines is bound right now in the name of Jesus. I destroy every agenda of confusion, every agenda of hell, every agenda right now that will tamper with this radio show, with this program, with this ministry in Jesus' mighty name. I come paralyzing every single plan of the devil and declaring right now that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world by the power of the Holy Ghost. And if God is for me, then no one can be against me in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you. Thank you because you will do awesome things tonight. Oh, Father, thank you so much for the word that you are about to release upon your people. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, because this radio show will expand all over the nations of the world. Thank you, Father God, because you will do something wonderful. Thank you because this show is going to be heard in Australia. It's going to be heard in Japan. It's going to be heard in Canada. It's going to be heard all over Europe, all over Asia, all over Africa, all over South America and Central America, and even the United States of America, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come interceding right now for Nepal. We pray for these people, Lord Jesus, who are in need. We pray you send all the aid that they need, oh, Father. And we repent for the sins of the nation, oh, Lord. Oh, forgive them, oh, Jesus. They don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant to idolatry. They're ignorant to their pagan practices. But, oh, Father God, we know you have a plan for them. Oh, we pray that you send your equipped servants to go evangelize to them, to go give them the word of love, to go preach to them the gospel of the kingdom in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Thank you, Father, because you will do it. Even angels are being sent forth right now, Father. Oh, even angels are being sent forth, Father God, to rescue some people that are still, Lord God, in trouble in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Thank you because you have a plan for Nepal. We consecrate that nation to you, Lord Jesus. All the years of idolatry, all the years of paganism, all the years of evil that have been sown into that land will be uprooted in the name of Jesus, and God will bring a revival to that nation. We prophesy this night. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Father God. And Father, we thank you so much because once again, you've opened up doors to preach here at Block Talk Radio. We bless Block Talk Radio. We bless the technicians of Block Talk Radio, the computer engineers in Block Talk Radio, the people that keep this thing running, Father God. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for this company because they served us, Lord Jesus, for the purposes of the gospel to allow us to preach freely, Lord God. Thank you so much because we have freedom of religion in this country and it still has not been stripped away. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, oh Jesus. We will do, Father God, your word. We will continue to preach. And Father, we pray you raise up people. We come in agreement tonight. I come right now praying and declaring that people are raising up right now in boldness. Even the word of my mouth that comes out of my mouth brings an impartation of identity, identity of calling and ministry tonight. Even people will begin to rise up tonight. Even people will begin to say, I've been called, I've been chosen, and I will do. And Father God, tonight people will go and do. People tonight in the name of Jesus will get up and will begin to prophesy. People will get up and begin to do warfare. People will get up and begin to preach. People will get up and go out into the streets and take the gospel to the streets in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you so much. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You are worthy of honor, Father. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory. Receive the honor tonight, Father. Oh, Jesus, receive the glory. Oh, receive it tonight, Father God. Oh, Jesus, receive it tonight. Oh, Father, thank you for every person that's coming in agreement with me. Thank you for every person, oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you for every person, oh, Yeshua, that is coming in agreement tonight. I thank you so much. Oh, Robo Shetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetet Oh, blessed is your holy name. Oh, blessed is your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for changes. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for changes, oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for changes. Thank you for changes. Oh, thank you for changes, oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you for changes, oh, Yeshua. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for changes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Pray in the Spirit. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, begin to open your mouth. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, I declare right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit come and be poured upon the people listening. Every person has not been loosed in their tongue. I loose their tongues tonight to be baptized in your fire. Oh, Yeshua HaMashiach, their faith is activated to receive your love. Right now, in the name of Jesus, open up your mouth and speak in boldness, knowing the Lord will fill it. Brose te rebebe mesia. Oh, power of God tonight. 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 Breno no no moshita brasende. Oh, power of God tonight. Bresito roba ba brasita. Eto robo sherere bresita. Embra baba baba sita rebebebe briere. O robo sherere brienne ne mere de kitso. Embra robo sobro che rebebebe bresia. Eto robo sherere bresina. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for changes. Thank you for changes. Thank you, Lord God, for breakthrough. Thank you for miracles in people's lives. Come on, don't get bored tonight. Don't get bored. Come on, come on, come on. Join in the Spirit. Don't get bored tonight. Come on. Get up and begin to walk around your house. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on. In the name of Jesus, raise up your hand and make decrees. Move your hand and declare in Jesus' name that you will conquer, that you will conquer, that you have victory in Christ Jesus, that you are more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. Come on now. Oh, robo shete bresina. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for victory. Thank you so much, oh Father God, for deliverance in this night. Thank you so much because the devil, in the name of Jesus, has been defeated, and we stomp on his head. We trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of hell in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the living God. Praise Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 How good is God, huh? Oh, how good is Jesus? How good is Jesus? How good is he? He's very good. He's good all the time. He is good all the time. There's a great anointing tonight present here. And by faith, by faith, you can come into this atmosphere by faith. But stop paying attention. Listen, when you listen to this show, you know by now. And you know by now this show is not your common, your typical radio show for entertainment. This is for the good of your spiritual life. This is a service. You're in church right now. So I want you to just right there, right where you are, get in the Spirit with me. Get in the atmosphere of God's presence that is with me right now. I feel it here. I feel it in my skin. I feel it in my bones. I feel God's glory in this place. Hallelujah. 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 I want to sing a song by Paul Wilbur. Has anybody heard it? It's called Holy is the Lord. It goes, Lord of all, I bow down at your feet. All to you, all I give, all of me, Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you listen. Holy is the Lord of glory. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. Worthy is the Lord of glory. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. Lord of all, I bow down at your feet. Come on, I want you to worship him right where he is. All to you, Lord, I give all of me. My soul longs to behold who you are. Now say, veil is torn. Veil is torn. Holy is the Lord of glory. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. Worthy, you alone are worthy. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. Now say, and with our voices cried out, we've come to sing it out. Nobody like you, there's nobody like you. And with our voices out loud, we've come to sing it out. Nobody like you, nobody like you. And with our voices out loud, we've come to sing it out. Nobody like you, nobody like you. Ooh. Come on, sing. Holy is the Lord of glory. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. Worthy, you alone are worthy. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. Now, I want you to say, then the glory of the Lord is filling this place. Come on, say it one more time. Then the glory of the Lord is filling this place. Sing it one more time, come on. Then the glory of the Lord is filling this place. One more time. Then the glory of the Lord is filling this place. Oh, you are holy. You are holy, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's somebody listening right now that there was a discrepancy at work today. I know this is a very unusual word of knowledge. There is somebody who had a discrepancy at work today, and you are afraid to be fired. You're afraid you're going to lose your job. But that's not going to happen. So, Father, I pray right now that you comfort that person. In the name of Jesus, right now, there's no fear because every agenda of hell has been decreed inactive in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's such a sweet anointing here. If you listen to my show and you skip the parts of the worship and the prayers and you go directly to the teaching, you are not receiving the anointing that's here. Because the anointing for the preaching comes by momentum. And the momentum is built through the seeking of God's face. So you have to get in it with me every time. And then you reap the benefits. There's people that have listened to our show for years and have had radical transformation. There's people that moved from other states here just to be in our ministry. We have a son, a spiritual son here, a disciple of the ministry, and he came from California. We're all the way down in South Florida. We're talking about over 3,500 miles just to be a disciple in this ministry because God was changing his life amazingly through the word. Now, I want you to imagine that there's effectiveness in this ministry. But now watch this, though. I need you to understand something, though. If you don't partake of the worship and of the prayers, you'll be like some people who've listened to the show for years and have seen no advancement. And then some have listened to the show for a couple of years, have seen no advancement, and stopped listening. And when they can be entertained. And we bless those people, of course. But that's not the issue here. The issue is that you can either be a person seeking the fire of God. If you understood how important the presence of God is, you will seek it every chance you get. You will seek it by yourself in your house. You will seek it in the car with your family. You will seek it at church with your brethren. You will seek it at the mall. I mean, we're talking about anytime you can, you will desire a manifestation. The problem is this generation is drinking a different water, which is why they're not thirsty. We need to stop drinking the worldly waters, and we need to get thirsty for the living water. We need to stop eating the worldly food. We need to stop eating the word that is being preached that does not come anointed by God so that we may get hungry for the anointed word of God. The word of God says in 1 Timothy 4 and in 2 Timothy 3 and 4 that in the end times, men will mount up for themselves teachers and heretical people will rise up. People will be disobedient to parents. All sorts of evil will arise. And as a result of this, heresy and apostasy will be abound. And Jesus says in Matthew 24:12 that because of the iniquity that will abound on the earth, the love of many will grow cold. We are already seeing that worse than ever because we have Facebook, and in Facebook people post videos, and those videos a lot of times are about violence, are about defiance to authority. And this is hardening people's heart, making making their love grow cold. So you can choose to do the whole thing and be a part of something greater. I had an encounter with God years ago, I had an encounter with God that transformed my life, and it took all theology that I knew and it made it into life in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I am talking about I was dead in my trespasses, but his presence transformed me. His presence set me free, and I have dedicated myself to seeing people and to educating people and to getting people to understand the will of God concerning his presence. Tonight I want to put an urgency in you to seek God's face. The word face in the Hebrew is the word panim. And the word panim, listen to what I'm telling you, the word panim is also the word presence. So it's the word face and the word presence. And the worst thing that happened to Adam is that when he left the garden, the Bible says that he was expelled from the panim of God. That means he no longer had access to the face of God no more. And the problem that happens when you don't have access to the face of God anymore is that you cannot look like someone. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. You cannot emulate someone. You can't look like someone. You cannot do the things that someone does unless you're seeing the person do them. So what happens is you need to go to the presence, because in the presence, pay attention, in the presence is where you see the things of the Spirit. In the presence is where you hear the voice of God. Jesus says the Son of Man does not do anything that he has not seen the Father do. But yet when Jesus prayed, he went to the presence of God. That means he saw God's face, and God showed him what he needed to be doing. Can someone say amen? Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So I have a powerful word for you tonight. I will try to make it short. You know me and my short. My shorts are 2 hours long. But today I will try to be short. I want to be concise. I want to motivate you tonight. I want you to repeat with me, Father, I humble myself to hear your will, to do your will, and to be a part of your will. Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word, that the eyes of my understanding may be open to know the hope of your glory, the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a powerful word it was. You can see the name of tonight's message, of tonight's show, is called The Word of Faith. I want to motivate you, because the one thing I've noticed, I've been a pastor for 4 years already, and the one thing that I have noticed is this. About 3 years ago, I heard a word from the Lord. God spoke to me and said to me that the number one enemy of the church, and we're talking about spiritual enemy, if you're talking about fleshly enemy, it will be yourself, your own selfish ambitions. But we're talking about spiritual enemy. The number one enemy of the church is the spirit of fear. So I'm going to say fear. Now, the problem with fear is that fear attacks two areas of our lives that are important for our progress and advancement in the kingdom of God, and the advancement of the kingdom of God through us on the earth. Not only us advancing in the kingdom, but also us advancing the kingdom. It attacks two areas. Fear attacks specifically the love of God in you and the faith that God has put in you. Everything else is just branched out from that. It also attacks your identity. It puts you to shame. It condemns you. There's many different things that fear does, but those are the two specific things that it attacks. Everything else branches off from there. So fear is the number one enemy of the church. So I'm going to say fear. So I'm going to say fear. Now, there is influence of the enemy of fear in people. There is a spirit of fear operating in people. There is fear possession. Person has anxiety disorder, panic disorder, schizophrenia, mental disorders. A lot of times they're possessed by a spirit of fear. Now listen to what I'm telling you now. Then there's the spirit of overall fear, the mantle of fear, the principality of fear that is operating over a nation, over a city, over a specific region, causing churches to not go out and evangelize. Now, you got to understand something real quick. Street evangelism in the scripture was a very normal thing. But so was organized evangelism, like evangelical campaigns. The idea of evangelical campaigns from the 1800s and 1900s is not a new thing. 10 revivals, that's not a new thing. The apostles used to do that all the time. They used to go to a city. They used to have people organize the stuff. They used to get there. They used to call people that were in need. They invited the people. Jesus told them. Jesus said to them, invite people to the party. Nobody shows up. Go invite the people. Get them from the byways, from the passways, from the roads, from this, from that. Get the poor people. Get the needy. Get whoever you can. So the concept of evangelical campaigns is not new. It's been around for thousands of years. And it's actually the most secure, the most popular way in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, to actually do evangelism. Now, street evangelism was also a very normal part. Jesus did a street evangelism all the time. When he spoke to the Samaritan woman, that was an example of street evangelism. When apostle, the first miracle of the New Testament of the Acts of the Apostles with John and Peter, that was street evangelism in the beautiful gate with the man that was lame, and he was sitting at the beautiful gate asking for alms. That was a street evangelism strategy or street evangelism example. So street evangelism was very common. But now today the church doesn't do street evangelism. Today the church does church evangelism. Now, let me explain to you what the problem with church evangelism is. There's nothing wrong with inviting an unbeliever to the house of God. There's nothing wrong with that. The issue with that is that most unbelievers, they go to the church of God, and when they get there, they're uncomfortable with the entire setting. And a lot of times, they might make a confession of faith. They might say, yes, I accept Jesus. And because they're uncomfortable, they walk away. Now, when you go and speak to a person in the street, when you speak to a person in an evangelical campaign, the specific things are what is the word that I'm looking for? They're not anointed, but it's catered for that specific purpose. Now, the church no longer evangelizes anymore. The church no longer prays according to God's word anymore. Now, I want to show you some reality checks tonight. I don't know why I'm talking about this evangelism thing, but maybe you need to get up and go out there and talk to people, or you need to get with a group of bold Christians that are anointed, that are on fire for Jesus, that are anointed by the Holy Spirit to go to the streets and take it to the streets. I thank God for the revelation of evangelism in this ministry. We are able to send people out into the street, and we're conquering. It's a difficult city. Every city right now has got its own problems, got its own principalities. People got situations going on, but we go out there and we preach the gospel. We let people know Jesus loves them. We let them know to repent. We let them know that they can be healed. We pray for people to be healed. God does miracles in the street. It's fantastic what God is doing. Hey, you know, do we struggle with it? Is it difficult? Of course it is, but we still do it anyway. And that's the whole point. You got to get up and go do it. But most of you that are listening right now, you might have never in your life gotten up and gone talk to somebody about Jesus. You might have never done it. And most of you that are listening, you might not even be a part of a church in an organized way when it's a biblical thing to do so. So God is calling you to do two things, to go to a church and to go evangelize. And what better way to evangelize than to be part of a church group that does evangelism and that you can go out there and win some souls and bring to the church so that they can be shepherded? Can someone say amen? Now, that's not the teaching tonight. What I'm trying to focus on here is the spirit of fear. And now, tonight, I want to talk to you about some realities that you need to understand. I want to turn you very quickly. I want you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. I know you've heard this before. It doesn't matter. There's inevitable problems in the world that we cannot run away from. Someone said we can't run away from them. And God has not called us to run away from anything. He's called us to avoid trouble. It's a big difference. Can someone say glory? Can someone say glory? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. The word of God says in John 16:33 says that in the world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for Jesus has overcome the world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this: for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now listen to what it says. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So the word of God is telling you that there's some preparation to be had according to righteousness, according to truth, according to the gospel of peace, according to salvation. Can someone say glory to Jesus? According to faith, according to the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that comes out of your mouth when you decree, when you declare, when you prophesy. Now, the word of God has told you very clearly that there's a problem going on in society. Jesus says the love of many will grow cold. Many shall betray one another. Many shall kill one another. They shall deliver one another to the authorities. They shall deliver you to magistrates and to synagogues, and they shall kill you. This is all happening all over the world right now. It happened to the apostles. It's happening all over again in the Middle East. The Muslims are taking Christians and murdering them. They're filming it, and they're showing it to the whole world, and they're laughing in our faces. And we think, well, we're not supposed to do anything about it. We're supposed to be persecuted. That's not true. The Word of God says that you have an authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Jesus says that gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. As long as the Holy Spirit is on the earth in operation, as long as the Holy Spirit is inside every single one of us, the devil cannot overcome the church. Someone say glory to Jesus. The devil cannot overcome the church as long as we have the Holy Spirit. And I am here right now. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm a tongue-speaking crazy Christian. I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm in love with God. And I can tell you this much. The devil will not intimidate me into giving him my blessings that God has called me to have before the foundation of the world. And neither should you. Someone say glory to Jesus. Come on now, I have a word for you tonight. I have a word for you tonight that's going to stir you up. You need to stand up and shout right where you are for joy, because God is about to change things on your behalf. And the reason why God is going to change things is because you're going to take a stand against the devil. You're going to stop being a victim of the devil and become an attacker of his. Let me tell you something real quick. It is time to tell the devil, you're not the perpetrator. I'm the perpetrator against you. You're not the accuser of the brethren. I accuse you. I come against you. I fight you. I'm a soldier. God has called the church to be an army. That's the part we keep forgetting. We keep calling ourselves the bride. We call ourselves Jesus' girlfriend. We wear rings. We take Holy Supper. We do all pretty things. And then when people turn around, we backstab and we talk bad about them. But we forgot one thing. We forgot that in the kingdom order, in the kingdom order of God, there's an area, there's a division of the kingdom of God called the division of the army. Just like a government in any country has the judicial part of government. Come on now. Has the justice part of government. Has the financial part of government. Come on now. And then it also has the army part of government, the military of that nation, the military of heaven, pay attention, are the angels of God. But the military of earth, pay attention, that brings down heaven, that is operating by heavenly power, by heavenly revelation, is the church of Jesus Christ. God has called us to be an army. And now an army has soldiers, and soldiers have ranking, and ranking equals authority. So depending on the authority that you're at, you have a hierarchy. You have a calling from God. You have a current power and authority from God to defeat devils. Can someone say glory to Jesus? But in order for you to be a soldier, effective in battle, you must submit to all authority. No one has authority unless they are submitted to authority. One of the reasons why your life is tearing apart, it's because you're not submitted to authority, because you haven't realized that you're a soldier in an army and church is your training camp. Come on now. Church is a hospital first, but then it becomes a training camp. Once you're healed, you go back in the battlefield and you begin to declare the word. People have missed the vision of the church. The church where we gather on Sundays, it doesn't matter what day of the week you gather. You can gather Thursday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever day it is. But if you gather on Sunday mornings and you go to church, people think the church is a place to fellowship, to go hang out. They don't understand that the church is first a hospital for the sick, for healing, for recovery, for deliverance. But then all things are made new to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation. You're born again. You get baptized in water. You get baptized of the Holy Spirit. You begin to get the confidence of God in you, and you begin to confess the word of faith. The name of tonight's word is the word of faith. Why the word of faith? Because the word, pay attention, is not so far from you. The word is near you. The word is even in your mouth and in your hearts. Can someone say glory to Jesus? What does that mean? It means that Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to do and to will for his good pleasure. There's something stirring up inside of you that you don't understand why you don't feel peace with. Oh, you have tribulations, you have problems, and the mental structures that you have had because of cultural bondage, because of traditions of your fathers, because of different things you've practiced for a long time, have not allowed you to set yourself free and to advance in the kingdom. But there's still something inside of you stirring up, telling you, there's got to be something else I can do. There's something more I could be doing. There's something I should be doing. Well, tonight is your night to understand that the what you have not been doing is you have not been fighting. And you were born, pay attention, you were born to be a fighter. I don't care if you're shy. I don't care if you're fearful. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you a revelation right now. The day you were conceived, you revealed your true identity as a soldier of the army of God. There was millions of sperms, and you prevailed among them all. And someone say glory to Jesus. Millions of sperms, and they all fought their way, and they all fought their way, and they all fought their way to the Philippine tubes, and they all made it to that egg, and they penetrated, and they went right and said, I'm the one. So today you are alive. You are hearing this word, and I'm going to tell you some good news. I have some gospel for you. I have some evangelium for you tonight. You are an overcomer. You are a soldier. You are, come on now, you are a militant of God. And because of this, the devil is already afraid of you. If you wonder why the devil has attacked you so much, I want you to study the serpents. If you know anything about serpents, if you ever watch Discovery Channel or the Animal Planet, you know something about serpents, especially rattlesnakes
and cobras, pay attention now, and vipers. They only attack when they're intimidated. I'll say that one more time. Serpents attack when they're intimidated. Do you know what that means? That you've been bit in the heel, but God has called you to trample on his head. Pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. Come on now. Come on now. Listen, listen tonight. You have been bit over and over again, but today you know that it's because the devil is afraid of you. So now, take the sword of the Spirit and chop the head off of the serpent. Come on now. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Somebody's understanding what we're talking about tonight. There's problems in the world. You think those problems, you think, you know what the issue is? We ask God for too many things, but we don't declare enough. You know what we don't declare enough? You know what we don't decree enough? You know what we don't prophesy enough? Because we don't understand. We don't understand our position in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you a revelation right now. I've heard an ignorant statement, and I think I've heard it long enough, and I will bring correction to it tonight. Live on the air, hopefully someone's listening. I've heard this ignorant phrase over and over again. I hope you write this down on Facebook tonight so somebody can read this. Come on now. I've heard this ignorant phrase spoken over and over again. That we, and listen, and it's not just an ignorant phrase. I've seen people doing it. That we win our battles against the devil on our knees. Let me ask you a question. Who told you that you fight on your knees? Who told you that? Let me tell you something real quick. You're not fighting on your knees. Listen to what I'm telling you. You're not fighting on your knees when you are fighting. You're not fighting on your knees when you're fighting in the heavenly places. So why would you do it in your prayer life? The ignorance in the body of Christ, people don't know how to pray. So they pray to the Lord and they worship God on their knees, which is okay and it's the right way to do it. And they begin to fight against the devil by asking the Father to do it for him. And God is saying, I have given you authority. The Word of God says, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. It doesn't say, in my name I will cast out devils if you ask me. It says, in my name you shall cast out devils. Second, listen to what I'm telling you. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, if I'm not mistaken, verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, tearing down. It doesn't say God will tear down. It says you're doing it. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Come on now. So because of this, let me ask you a question. Physically speaking, who knocked down the giant, David or God? Someone say David did. So then David did the warfare, yet God backed them up and God gave them the strategy. Can someone say glory to Jesus? I want to talk to you about tonight some ignorance because we started, oh, we win the battles on our knees. No, no, no. Yes, we ask God on our knees. Yes, we worship on our knees. Oh, I do all that stuff. That's fine. I have nothing against that. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is that we need to start learning how to actually do warfare. There's an ignorance to what warfare is. Warfare is when you take your stance, your position as a soldier, and you come against the devil face to face. One of the perfect examples of warfare is when Jesus cast out devils, and when the apostles cast out devils, there's no record of them praying to the Father to do it. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be set free, Paul said, to the young lady that had a demon of divination. The Word of God says that Jesus looked at Peter and said, Satan, get behind me. He didn't say, Father, I ask that you help me get Satan behind me. Or, Father, I ask. And Jesus was always showing us how to pray. He showed us how to pray to the Father. He even gave us the model prayer. Can someone say glory? He gave us a blueprint of how to pray in order, kingdom order, how to pray. We must hallow God first, hallow his name, so on and so forth. We must forgive our neighbor. Can someone say amen? But watch this, though. This is important now. Jesus, when he looked at Peter, Peter had just had a revelation of Jesus being the Mashiach. And he looked at Peter, and he knew the devil was influencing him. So instead of Jesus praying to God the Father and saying, Father, I ask that you, or Father, that your name may be glorified, the devil let him be cast out. No, he said, Satan. He went against Satan face to face. And the Word of God says, Jesus said very clearly in John 14, 12, that the things that he has done, and even greater things, you will do. That doesn't sound like an option. You will do in his name because he has to go to the Father. In other words, Jesus is looking for representatives. So much so that 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20, Apostle Paul gives us a great revelation. It says, we are now those who have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. We've been born again. We are a new creation. And it says, and now we are ambassadors of Jesus the Christ. Can someone say amen? Are you an ambassador? That's my question. An ambassador is a representative of a nation that comes in with power and comes in with authority to change the outcome, to make better decisions, to make some dealings. Can someone say amen? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. God is good. God has called us to be an army. You're a soldier. From the moment of your conception, understand that from right now. Let me explain to you. I need you to know something tonight. I need you to know something tonight because people don't get this. A lot of people are today have lost motivation. A lot of people today are walking around in discouragement with a mantle of rejection, a mantle of depression put by the devil, even generational. Listen to what I'm telling you. There's people from certain nations that walk around with a mantle of poverty over them, tracing back 5, 10, 15 generations. I've met people from specific nations. I will not name the names right now. From specific nations that we've done deliverance to, that we've had to go back many generations because, listen to what I'm telling you, the demons have followed them through their ancestors' behavior, their ancestors' cultural bondage. Are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you? There's things you learn from your tradition of your fathers that make you bound in your soul. You have no fault in this. You might not have even done it. You might not have done it on purpose, but God has called you to repair the breach, the Word of God says, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. In other words, people couldn't walk through there. In other words, people couldn't cross over, but you're going to go ahead and do it. So therefore, if somebody's going to do it, then somebody's got to be set free in order to do it. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is time to close every door you have had for the enemy to come into your life freely. But Pastor, so there's a theological mess going on in this generation where there's this hyper-grace preaching where they tell you that a Christian can't have demons because the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell. This is one of the most ignorant things I've heard. The Holy Spirit can't dwell in the same place where there is sin or where there's a demon or where there's uncleanness. Let me explain to you something. Your body, okay, your body, inside of you, there's living two specific things. You have a body, but you're not a body. Someone say, I'm not a body. Because if you were a body, the day you died, you cease to exist. So you're not a body. You're a spirit. And as a spirit, inside a body, you have a soul. And that soul, and listen to what I'm trying to tell you, is what gives you a choice in this natural realm you live in. In the eternal realm, your soul has no choice. In the natural realm, your soul has a choice. Decide to obey or not obey. To eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. Your soul has been given a choice. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Because of this, your soul is where your memories are. Your soul is where your will is. And because your memories have partaken of evil things or remembers evil things and have not been forgotten, even when you come to Christ, yes, you are a new creation. Yes, you are a new creature. Yes, you are born again. Your spirit is, however, not your soul. If your soul was born again, then you never sin again. So it's not your soul the one that's born again. It's your spirit. Because of this, there's Christians that have demons. And Apostle Paul says it very clearly in such a specific way that we don't catch it because we pass by it, we don't catch it. Ephesians 4:27 says, nor give place to the devil. I'll say that one more time. Nor give place to the devil. Someone say, don't give any place to the devil. Another version says, nor give any opportunity for the devil. So people don't understand that a Christian can actually give way to the devil. Someone say, amen. And one of the biggest problems with the generation of today, it's not just we've opened up doors for Satan to come into our lives and tear us apart. Thus forth, we're not fulfilling God's purpose because of this. But we're also, listen to what I'm going to tell you. The body of Christ is full of fear. The Word of God says we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And with all this, Apostle Paul had to tell Timothy in 1st and 2nd Timothy to stir up the gift in him, because he was, listen to what I'm telling you, he was losing the battle. Apostle Paul had to warn Timothy because Timothy was decaying in his faith, because Timothy was becoming lukewarm. And Paul had to warn him and said, stir up the gift that is in you. And immediately after that he says, for we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. What gift was he talking about? Well, perhaps the gift of tongues, perhaps the gift of prophecy. Whatever it was, he needed to stir it up, because it was going to edify the body of Christ. It was going to edify him. Can someone say glory? The fire that is in you, God puts a spark in you, but you got to put the wood, you got to put the coal, come on now, you got to put the fuel, you got to make it grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Somebody give glory to Jesus. God has called us to be an army. But in order for your prayer life to have a motivation, you're going to need identity. Identity is the motivation of your prayer life. Your identity is your security when you pray. So when you pray, if you know who you are, if you know where you're standing, the Bible even tells you, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb, through faith in a new and consecrated way that he consecrated for us. He says, come boldly. He doesn't say come fearfully. He says, come boldly. Of course, yes, when we worship God, we do it in humility. That's not what boldly means. It doesn't mean you come to God with pride. It doesn't mean you come to God with haughtiness, right? But what it means is that you come with permission. In other words, you don't got to knock on his door in your parents' bedroom. Oh, can I come in? No. God's saying, just open the door and come in and come talk to me. I'm your father. Come talk to me. Someone say glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures of identity for your life that I'm going to hype you up tonight. Revelation 1, 5, verse 6. 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Listen to what the blood has done. The blood has given you access to his presence. The blood has redeemed you. The blood has forgiven you. The blood has cleansed you. The blood has washed you. And the blood has made you a king and a priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God has made you into what Jesus is. The word of God says that Jesus is the high priest. The word of God says, pay attention, the word of God says that Jesus is the King of Kings. Who do you think those kings are? Someone say, I am. Hallelujah. So that means that God has called you to be a king and a priest. God imparts to you identity through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of God says in John 1:12, but as many as received them, to them he gave the rights to become children of God. You are a child of God. Someone say, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Because of this, you got to walk around like, I got a daddy. Oh, yeah, I got a daddy. And my daddy's name is Jesus. My daddy's name is I Am. Why is his name I Am? Oh, because he could be whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Someone give glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So my daddy's powerful. My daddy's almighty. And you walk around with that identity. Like my daughter, somebody messes with my daughter. She's like, don't mess with me. I got a daddy. He's big. He's 6'2 and 250 pounds. Don't mess with me. I got a big daddy. You know what I'm talking about? So we got a big daddy. We walk around, and we have to walk around with this mentality that we have a big daddy. But how does that happen? With a revelation of the Holy Spirit when we read the word. That's when the prayer in the beginning today, when we started the message, I told you to repeat this prayer. Father, I humble myself to hear your will, to do your will, and to be a part of your will. But there's a part of the prayer where I say, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being open to know the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the power of your resurrection. That's your identity. When God opens up your eyes, when God gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, identity is imparted to you. You need tonight, God is imparting to you identity through the love of the Father. God has given you the right to be called a son of God, a daughter of God. Why? Because you believe in Jesus. But as many as received them, as many as have believed in Jesus, to them it has been given the right to become children of God. Can someone give glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you a great revelation, Ephesians 1:20. It says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can someone give glory? And I want to show you something. In Ephesians 2:6, a little later, it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. First, it tells you in Ephesians 1:20 that Jesus was raised from the dead and was seated at the right hand of the Father and put over all principality and power in the heavenly places. Then it tells us in chapter 2, verse 6, that we are sitting in heavenly places where Christ is. So in other words, what is your identity? Your identity is that you are, let me tell you something, this is going to blow your socks off. When Jesus died and was raised from the dead, the blood of Jesus has now given you access to the inheritance in Christ. The word of God says, if co-heirs, listen to what I'm telling you. It says if co-heirs, then, my God, glory to you. Is someone understanding what we're talking about here? Is anybody understanding what we're talking about? God has called us to have the inheritance of the same place where Jesus is. Can someone give glory to the living God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't Jesus good? Isn't Jesus good? Praise Jesus. So you see now, what is going to increase my ability to be able to defeat the devil? Because there's principalities at work. There is things in your life that the devil has placed before you. There's assigned spirits that were assigned against your life from the moment of birth. There's assigned spirits that were assigned against your life from the moment you committed adultery, that were assigned against your life from the moment you had premarital sex. There's demons that were assigned to your children who were born out of wedlock. There is an assignment against your life. But through forgiveness of sins, through redemption, Jesus has paid the debt. And the accuser of the brethren has to keep his filthy mouth shut if you do not give place to the devil. If you don't give him an opportunity, now you stand up, you take your identity, you know who you are, you've been forgiven, you've repented, you have identity, you have the love of God, you've been revealed. You got to ask God, Lord, open up my eyes to see your glory. Open up my eyes to know who I've been called to be. As your word says, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And when you get a revelation is an explanation from God according to his knowledge. A revelation is an impartation of God's word in your spirit, man. When you have a revelation, you have now been given a grace, an ability from God to be able to walk in something in accordance to obedience, something you could not do in your own strength. That's why revelation is so important. Without revelation, there is no transformation. Many people want transformation without revelation. There's things you need in your life to transform your life. You need two specific things: revelation of God's word and the presence of the glory. Those are the two things that you need in your life. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we're transformed from glory to glory. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How you get a renewal of your mind? By revelation of God's word. Can someone say glory to Jesus? There's things you need to be doing constantly to be transformed. Some people have a difficult time walking in wisdom. Some people have a difficult time walking in prudence, walking in discretion. Some people have a difficult time in the area of gossip. Some people, and you say, but why do I have such a difficult time? Well, number one, because there's still orphan spirits operating in the church. Orphan spirits are hindering people from receiving the spirit of Abba, from receiving the Holy Spirit impartation of Abba. The Spirit of God cries out, Abba, from within you, giving you identity, giving you confidence, giving you assurance, giving you security, that when you go to pray to God, Daddy is listening. Daddy is there for you. Daddy will do exceedingly and above all your expectations. according to the ability that he has given you to call upon him. Can someone give glory to Jesus? Come on, come on, come on. Give him praise. I got to get a drink of water because you got me preaching tonight. You got me preaching tonight because to preach means to convict. To preach means to rebuke. To preach means to exhort. And tonight I am exhorting you. Tonight I am edifying you through a word of hope and motivation, letting you know who you are in the Lord. God has called you to do great things. Why have you succumbed to the ideas of this world? Why have you conformed yourself to this age, this generation that says that to do what everybody else is doing is what you were called to do? No, you were called to be special. You were called to be different. How else can you be light? Can someone say amen? You want to know what makes, when you go to outer space and you look at a satellite photo of the earth, and you go to the dark side of earth while the sun is not hitting that side, do you know what makes the earth beautiful and special? It's not the darkness upon the earth. It's every light that is flickering and it's lighting up the earth. That's what gives it beauty. So you give beauty to the earth. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your flavor, how will the earth be seasoned? Imagine if salt becomes dull. How will it season the steak? How will it season the fish? How will it season the food if it becomes dull and dried up? Do you know, let me explain to you. The Bible says that he who puts his hand in the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Do you know what happened when God had a greater plan for Lot and his wife and his daughters and his children? God had a plan for the family of Lot who was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of Abraham's intercession, God decided to deliver Lot from that city. And God had a plan for them, but the angel warned the family and said, do not look back. But Lot's wife looked back. She looked back. And Lot's wife represents a church that started off walking in the right direction, but at one point thought the way was too hard and relented in their ways and looked back to where they used to be and made the wrong turn. That's what Lot's wife, and you notice that the Bible doesn't even respect the fact that she might have had a name, and it doesn't even record her name because it wasn't important. The Word of God says, let me tell you something. The Word of God says, be glad not that demons are subject to you, but that your name is written in heaven. Oh, my God. Is anybody understanding what we're talking about here? Oh, hallelujah. The Word of God says that a great name is better than riches. Can someone say amen? Now, listen to what I'm trying to tell you tonight. God is doing some shift in your emotions. There's some of you that are so emotional that you've had a hard time breaking into the transition of spiritual. But the Word of God says that the natural man hears spiritual things, and to him it is foolishness. So you have no choice but to transition. But if you make a choice, then the grace of God will empower you. Tell the Lord, Father, give me an obedient spirit. Give me an obedient spirit that I may obey your voice and go forward in my calling and purpose. Because if I can do it, I'm not more special than you. I'm a human being. I got 10 fingers, 10 toes. I got a mouth just like you do. I am not more special than you. The only difference between you and I is that I might be a little taller. I might be a little shorter. I might be a little fatter. I might be a little skinnier than you. But you and I are human beings. We are spirit, body, and soul. You and I are both the same in that regard. Under the cross, we are both the same. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. So our confession every day is going to increase our faith. So confession and faith work together. Many people want to have faith and they want to ask God for faith. I'm going to show you a secret. I want you to go to the book of Luke. I want you to go to the book of Luke chapter 17, please. And I want you to look at what Jesus says. I want you to go to verse 5. It says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. You know, some people think that they lack faith, and because they lack faith, let me explain to you. They lack faith that's the problems that they have. The problem is not the lack of faith. It's the lack of proper confession. Look what Jesus said. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. In other words, the simple fact that you happen to be saved, you already have faith as a mustard seed. He says, you can say to this mulberry tree,
be pulled up by the roots. Why by the roots? Because in the roots is where the problem lies. If you clip anything and you don't clip the roots, at some point or another, it will resurface. There's many people who have gotten delivered of things but have not gotten rid of the roots. The root problem might be unforgiveness. Can someone say amen? And be planted in the seed, and it would obey you. Is anybody understanding what we're talking about? At one point, Jesus said you would tell that mountain to be plucked up and be thrown into the sea. Can someone say amen? And in another one, Jesus says that if you have the faith, that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed of all, but then it grows into the biggest of all. Is anybody understanding what we're talking about? So the faith that you increase it by the confession of your mouth. Let me explain to you. The battle of David and Goliath, a very famous battle. If you read the entire chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, you will notice one thing. David did not win the battle by strength. No, he did not. As Zechariah chapter 4, 5 and 6, it says, it shows it says, it is not by sword, it is by my spirit, says the Lord. So he did not win that battle because he was strong and mighty. He won the battle because of his confession and his testimony of the power of God. He confessed, he testified that he had already defeated the lion and the bear. And let me explain to you that the lion is at the top of the food chain in the wilderness, in the plains, in the valleys. And the bear is at the top of the food chain in the mountains. So God had given a grace to David, little guy, tiny dude. He had given him a grace to overcome big guys, to overcome. Come on now. He had given him a grace to overcome. And every one of us is a little one. Every one of you is like a Gideon. The word of God says that God does not call the many nobles. God does not call the many mighty, but he calls the foolish things of this world, come on, to confound the wise. Can someone say amen? So you that have been depressed, you that have might have been sexually abused, you might have been rejected, you might not have any family, you might not have parents, your parents abandoned you. You think you're nothing, but God says you're something. God has called you to be like a Gideon. God has called you to be like a Jephthah. Your mother might have practiced bad things like Jephthah's mother did, and you may not have a good name among your family or among the people that you've known in your town, but God is going to call you out of there, and you're going to become a captain in an army, and they're going to call you, and they're going to say, whoa, you come and fight for us. You come and preach to us. God might have called you to be the best businessman or woman of God. You have something in you to make money, and you thought you had love for money, but it's God telling you, I've been working in you because I've called you to be a businessman for the division of God's kingdom of finances. Can someone say amen? God's kingdom is a government, and in every government, there's got to be a financial division. There's got to be a financial district. There's got to be a financial system. Can someone say amen? There's some of you that have been called to make money, and you just don't know it. So you've had this battle and this struggle, but God has called you to get up, take back what is yours. When the people of Israel got given the promised land, they had to come in and take it. They had to take it by force. That is a representation today of how that every time you want a blessing from God, the devil is there already tormenting the place. The devil is already trying to take it from you. The devil is already there. So you have to come in and get them out. Jesus says you cannot go into a place and take the goods of a house unless you bind first a strong man. That means you have to prohibit him. That means you have to bind him. That means you have to restrict him. That means you have to cast him out. That means you got to kick him out before you can take the goods in the place. And then you take the spoils. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. God has called you to do great things. It's time to stand up and take back what's yours. Restoration. Say it with me. Restoration. Someone say breakthrough. Someone say breakthrough. Someone say restoration. Come on now. Someone say restoration. Come on, someone say breakthrough. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. God is here. God is here. See, some of you thought, well, I'm gonna go to church. I'm just going to be a sheep for a few years. So you say stuff like, give me, bless me, pray for me. Everything's me. Everything's me. And you talk emotion. No. God has called you to be healed. The word of God says, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, you've been healed. Come on now. By his stripes, you've been healed. By his stripes, you've been delivered. Come on now. The word of God says that the Spirit of God that gave life to the body of Jesus will also give you life. Can someone say amen?
You're not a handicap. You're not a cripple. Stand up and be someone for Jesus. Stand up and show off the glory of God. The Word of God says, and the glory of God shall be your rear guard. Come on now. He's backing you up. He's like your big brother. You got a big pillar of fire behind you when you're walking in the midst of darkness. And then on top of it, you got the oil of the Holy Spirit lighting up the torch, the lamp of your faith, walking in the midst of darkness in the right direction. Because if you got anointing, if you got the lamp, if you got the fire of God, then you know exactly where you're going. And you're ready to meet the bridegroom because Jesus is coming soon. And you got to be ready when Jesus comes. So take back what is yours. Take back what is yours. There's a great calling upon the church of God that the church has not yet understood. When you go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It is the church's job to let the devil know we are here to stay. We are here to reign. We are here to take over. So you got to get out. This is our Canaan. This is our promised land. And very soon, we're going to put our name on it. Come on now. So much so that the Word of God compares the heavenly city of Jerusalem to the bride of Christ. It says the bride is adorned. And when it brings the bride down, is the city of Jerusalem. And many confused people don't understand what God is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us, pay attention now. That when, let me tell you, when the church, the church of God, come on now, the church, I'm going to give you a revelation tonight. I don't know if you're ready for it. But when Israel was Jacob, he fought God for a blessing, and he defeated him through constant battle. He defeated him through persistence throughout the night. And the Bible says that God changed his name and called him Israel, he who contends with God. Now, pay attention. At first, it didn't seem important. But when they got to the land about 400 years later, focus on what I'm going to tell you. When they got to the land of Canaan, the land was called the land of Canaan, where the Jebusites, the Hittites, and all the Ites were located. They had to fight them all. But eventually, when Joshua gave the people the inheritance, the name of the land changed from Canaan to Israel. I have news for you. This planet is called to bring down the New Jerusalem, and the New Jerusalem is called Jerusalem because it's the bride of Christ, the church's. Come on, oh, somebody catching on what I'm telling you. It's the church's city, and therefore, because it's the church's city has the name. Come on now, has the name on it. Come on, is someone giving glory to Jesus now? The heavenly country is coming down, and it has our name on it. We are in it. Can someone say amen? That's what Jesus says. I will write the name in heaven. I will write the name in the pillars. You shall be pillars in the temple of my God, and you shall never leave. He says to the church of Philadelphia. Can someone say glory to Jesus? That's our city. We're coming down and we're taking over. So right now, your calling is to spread the kingdom of God. Your call of God right now in this moment is to bring the kingdom wherever you go. And you got to let the devil know, I am here to stay. I am here to stay. Ephesians 3:20, that the church, the 3:10, that the church made known the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers. The devil doesn't even know the next strategy that God has for us in spiritual warfare. God showed me one day the Kishon River. And the Kishon River comes out a few times in the Bible. Elijah took the false prophets of Baal and executed them at the Kishon River. And then Deborah took the armies of the enemies and took them to the Kishon River and executed them there. And in the book of Psalm, I think chapter 95 and 94, David sings unto the Lord and says, for they got taken unto the Kishon River. So God confesses to me one day and says to me, God reveals to me one day and says to me, I want you to pray this as a prayer. And whenever enemies are attacking people, you can use this as a warfare strategy and take the enemies, the spiritual realm, not actual enemies, not physical enemies, but I'm talking about demons. You could take them to the Kishon River because the Kishon River represents a place of defeat. Someone say a place of defeat. Can someone get glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. So if we start moving in that kind of revelation, I'm going to tell you something. Romans chapter 10. I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. I want to show you something powerful. Come on. Is anybody being blessed tonight? Romans chapter 10 verse 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. It says, that is the word of faith which we preach. it says that the word that they're preaching is already near us, in our heart, in our mouth. So there's confession to be made. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word salvation is also the Hebrew word deliverance. So with your mouth, you confess what you believe in your heart. Pay attention. It says that the word is already near you, in your mouth and in your heart. God has put it in you. God has given you a choice. Go to Deuteronomy chapter. I want you to go to Deuteronomy very quickly. Hallelujah. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. Glory to Jesus. Should go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. When you have it, say amen. Verse 14 says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Someone say, I need to do it. Someone say, I need to do it. Someone say, I need to do it. So he's telling you, don't expect the word to come from afar, to come from this place for you to. There's many of you that can't wait for the next preaching or the next teaching of whatever preacher, the next main conference to come. Because you just hope to hear something that's going to change your life. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that the whole time that you're waiting for the preacher, you yourself are not confessing the word that is near your mouth, even in your heart. God works in you both to will and to do for his good plan. He's the one that does it. So he ministers to you. He interworks in you, in your heart, so that you may confess. The word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you're not speaking because you got fear. You're afraid of the devil. There's a lot of times the devil attacks you at night and gives you a nightmare. This cycle of thoughts. There's people who have cycle of thoughts in the night hours you get visited with dreams of accusation, dreams of unfinished processes. And psychology calls it, dreams of a cycle of dreams. It calls it dreams of things that you didn't finish. And therefore your mind is trying to help you process that. No. That's demonic accusation to bring your defenses down. You got to go back to the teaching on dreams that I have here on Block Talk Radio. I show you how the devil torments you through dreams, and it's all scriptural stuff. Can someone say amen? So it's time for you to stand up and cut every cycle of thought, every emotional cycle that comes once a month, twice a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months, that comes in to attack you. And all of a sudden you start to speak different, you start to talk different, and you're like, oh, but this, and you start to doubt yourself, and you doubt God, and you doubt the problem. Cut it! Whenever you feel yourself that you're about to start doubting the promises of God, say, in the name of Jesus, I declare that every thought in my mind is taken captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Jesus. I think like Jesus thinks. Right now, devil, you let go of my mind. I declare in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, you are defeated, Satan. You shut up now, devil. Right now, you shut your mouth in the name of Jesus. You can do that. God has called you to hear his voice, not just listen to a preacher. Look what it says. It says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. You have the choice. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The choice to speak words of life over your children, over your future. It is time for someone to stand up and repair the breach and be a restorer of the streets to dwell in. It is time for someone to get up and be like Jesus the Deliverer coming out of Zion. It is time for somebody to stand up and say, I will do the will of my Father. Hallelujah. It is time for you guys to start confessing, every one of us, the church, to start confessing what God has called you to confess. Your words have power to change things. Some of you say, no, but it's God the one that does it. Yes, it's God the one that does it. But God needs agents. If he didn't need agents, then he would have never said, God sought after an intercessor and found none. Therefore, he brought judgment upon the land. Somebody who will stand in the gap. Can someone say amen? Come on now. Hallelujah. And look what it says here. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Can someone say amen? How many of you want to reach the promised land?
The promised land is your ministry. The promised land is your purpose, your calling for God here on the earth. God hasn't called you to be in the wilderness your entire life. He's called you to go to the promised land. In the promised land, you'll be more productive. You'll be fulfilling the purpose of God. In the wilderness, you're being tried. In the wilderness, you're being processed. You're being matured. God wants you to mature quickly. God wants you to move. It's your choice. He says, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Some of you curse out of your mouth. You know what cursing means? The word curse comes from the root word that says to say something negative. To say something negative. So some of you curse. You spend your time speaking negatively instead of speaking positively. Pray and supplicate. It says, do not be anxious for nothing in the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious for nothing. But in supplication, in prayer, present all your petitions to God with thanksgiving. For this is the will of God for you. And the God of peace shall give you peace. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So, brethren, the key is in your mouth. The key is in your daily confession. The key is that no more intimidation. Every day go in the presence of God. Get filled with the Spirit and tell the Lord, Lord, I have not been given a spirit of fear because you've given me love, power, and a sound mind. So therefore, Father, I need an impartation of your love. I need a revelation of my identity as a king, as a priest, as your child. Oh, Lord Jesus, that I'm sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Begin to confess the word. You begin to declare the word over your own life, over your own soul. King David spoke to his soul to do inner healing. The key to inner healing is confession to your soul. You tell your soul, once you spoke negative things to your own soul, oh, I'm worthless, oh, I'm this, oh, I'm that, oh, I don't think I could do that. And you kept saying that. So then you got sick spiritually. But to bring inner healing to your soul, the key is going to be confession. The opposite of what you once did, now you do. King David knew that he committed adultery. So then he will begin to speak to his soul. And he will say stuff like, God, deliver me from the sins. Forgive me for the sins that I even don't even know that I commit. The things that are hidden from me. And can someone say amen? So he began to realize I can heal my own soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to say glory to Jesus. So tonight, change your mentality. Go home with a different perspective, with a different perception of who you are in Christ. You are not a slave to the devil. You are not a victim of your problems. You are a problem solver. You are an ambassador. Jesus Christ has sat you with him in the heavenly places where he is. He is a king. He is a priest. You get to minister to God and to the people, and you get to have dominion. You get to decree. You get to declare. You get to prophesy. Whatever you decree shall come to pass because you are a king. And the decrees of a king have to come to pass. But you have to be resilient. You have to be persistent. Can someone say amen? You have to be determined. You have to know in boldness who you are and go and recharge. Every day when you pray, you are refueling your faith. You are refueling your spirit, man. You are getting filled with revelation. You're getting filled with the strength of God. The word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, now, brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. How can you be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might? Nobody's ever taught you to do that. You read that and you don't know how to do it. The way you do that is through worship. Worship is the strength of your warfare. I'll say that one more time. Worship is the strength of your spiritual warfare, your prayer life. When you pray and you worship, you have a strong life. And when you tell the devil, leave, you're not coming at him with a gun full of blanks or a gun that is empty. You're coming with a gun full of potent bullets, full of fire, and the devil's afraid and says, no, I got to flee. That's you. I am not telling you that's somebody else. I'm telling you that's you. Tonight, I'm telling you that's you. That's who needs to stand up tonight. Whatever your name is, you need to stand up and say, I'm tired of being a victim. I am tired of my marriage being in failure. I am tired of my relationship being in failure. I am tired of my financial struggles. I am tired. I will set myself free. I will seek deliverance, and I will walk in my deliverance, and I will go deliver someone else. I am tired of not preaching the gospel. I am tired of sitting behind my computer and putting posts on Facebook. I will now talk to people face to face in Jesus' name and with the fire of God. So go do it. Get up because you are beautiful. You are strong in the Lord. You are courageous because that's what God has called you. When Gideon had no identity, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Gideon was afraid. Gideon was seeking confirmations. But the angel of the Lord told him, take that courage of yours, and with that courage, you will defeat the people. God sees the things that are not as though they already are. Gideon was wondering, why in the world does this guy think that I'm some sort of bold guy when I'm afraid? But God was seeing what he would become. God doesn't see the frail person that you think you are. God sees, let me tell you, God sees the boldness he put in you from the moment of conception. You soldier, you once were a little tiny sperm that fought your way through life, and now you cannot give up, you soldier. Soldier, get up and fight. Soldier, stand up tonight. Right where you are, soldier, stand up and fight for the army of Christ Jesus and go conquer the earth, soldier. Come on, soldier, stand up and begin to decree. Soldier, begin to declare over your life and your family. Soldier, begin to prophesy. Come on, soldier, you humble yourself before the captain of the armies of heaven, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and begin to worship him tonight. Come on, soldier. Come on, soldier. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Someone say amen. God is in the midst of this whole thing. God was here tonight. God is here tonight. Go and apply this message to your life. I want to hear results. Email me at slwchurch@gmail.com. slwchurch@gmail.com. I want to hear how this word has transformed your life and has touched you. King David became the man who he became because he confessed the word. He confessed the testimony. The word of God says, and we have overcome him by the word of our testimony. Someone say glory to Jesus. Someone say glory to Jesus. Someone say glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much in this night, Lord. Father, I pray for your children tonight. I know you've done something. Oh, Father, I pray for the woman that's listening that her name is Catherine. I don't know who you are, Catherine, but you're listening tonight. Catherine, oh, Father God, thank you for her life, Lord. Thank you because you're pulling the strings of manipulation from her back, Lord God. The yoke of oppression from her neck is being broken right now. Oh, Jesus, the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillars that have been eating her up, eating her finances, eating her garments of praise and joy. And, oh, Father, today she gets new garments. Today she's set free, Father, by the power of your Spirit. Today there's a breakthrough in her life and in every listener that's listening tonight. People love you, Lord God. But these people today need change. I pray your Spirit blows a new wind, a new movement in every person's life. A fresh anointing pours upon the people. Some of you are beginning to feel it already. Come on, breathe it in. Breathe in the joy of the Lord. Breathe in the peace. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Father, for their lives. I bless every one of them in Jesus' name. Brethren, I want you to share this message with your friends, your family, everybody you got. Post it on Facebook. Send it to people. Share it. You'll be doing me, the ministry, the kingdom, Jesus, yourself a great favor. Do it. Do it now. Share this message tonight. It's a message of hope, a message of identity. God is here in this message. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if they listen to it tomorrow, God will still be there in the message. Someone say glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. God is here. Can someone say God is here? Glory to Jesus. Check us out on Facebook. Prophet J.C. Mora or Pastor John C. Mora or Springs of Living Water Church. You can check us out. Prophet J.C. Mora or Pastor John C. Mora or Springs of Living Water Church. If you have any prayer requests or questions, slwchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to donate to this ministry, this has been a blessing. Don't be afraid to give. The Word of God says it is more blessed to give than to receive. It says if you give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, put down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into your bosom, and the measure in which you use it, it will be measured back to you. This is the time. Can someone give glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. So I want you to go ahead and do that. You can go through PayPal and use the same email ID, slwchurch@gmail.com. I love you, brethren. If you speak Spanish and you want to check out the message tomorrow night in Spanish on almavision.tv, Alma, A-L-M-A, Vision. So almavision.tv at 9 p.m. East Coast time. You can check it out in Spanish, the same message, but, you know, a little bit different in Spanish. And you could also check it you could also come to our Sunday morning services in English or Sunday night services in Spanish at 7 p.m., 10 a.m. in English, 7 p.m. in North Miami Beach, Florida, 1810 Northeast 153rd Street. That is 1810 Northeast 153rd Street. I want to pray for you. I want to deliver you in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. So come to the house of God and congregate with us. Amen. I love you all very much, and I'll hopefully see you. Actually, I don't think I will see you next Friday night at 9 p.m. East Coast time. I'll be going to an event. But if I don't see you, then, you know, there's always the archives. Please pass the message around. However, if I do see you, we'll see what happens. Okay? I love you all very much. God bless you, brethren, and I'll see you soon. Take care.